Welcome to Resettled Radio, brought to you by the ARCC, live on Planet FM.
Stay tuned for current affairs, conversation, interviews, music and more.
As we explore the perspectives and stories from resettled communities.
And bring you information from within the resettlement sector.
Hi, this is your host Asif Rajputpati, and you're listening to Reset Community Radio, brought to you by Planet FM and ARCC. With me here is Sandy. She's community innovative. Okay, I'll let her introduce herself. I'm very bad at it. So, welcome, Sandy.
Kia ora. My name is Sandy, and I'm the Projects and Innovations Coordinator for ARCC. I just came on about over a month ago.
Yeah, she's been working with us. And today we're going to talk about how ARCC is helping the wider community and also the ethnic community. And most of the people might not know, especially for the new listener, might not know what ARCC is doing in the community and how we are helping the communities out. So yeah, that's why we brought a guest here today. And we're going to talk, me and Sandy, we're going to talk about how we are making a difference. So Sandy run two programs. So one of them is Youth United Voice, and the other one is Women Leadership Network. And also she helps clients, not clients, so we don't use actually the word clients, so for them they are our community members. And so yeah, she helps community members writing support letters, helping them get the advocacy, and we are the voice of the voiceless that we always say. So yeah, so we help those who are in need the most. So our office door is always open. And yeah, now I'm gonna go over to Sandy, and I'll let her talk what is her role and how she's making a difference. Welcome Sandy again.
Thank you. So just a little bit about me. I'm originally from the United States, and I've been in New Zealand for 14 years. So I'm a migrant as well. I'm really excited about this role that I've been in for a very short period of time so far. I will be taking a bit more of a lead on some of our programs in the soon future.
Right. So, sorry, I was cutting you here. Last month we had a monthly leadership network meeting with the community leaders. And what did you think about the workshop that we had with DLI Piper? And
yeah, so we had a workshop with community leaders that I believe Asif helped organize.
Yes, with the help of Red Cross.
Right. And we had some legal experts come in and talk to us about human rights law and our rights under the law in New Zealand specifically.
Yeah, and I think over 11 different nationalities joined us, and there were some very good questions being asked about, you know, about work rights, family rights. And it is very important, especially for the forced migrants community, to know their rights. Because when they come to the country, they have little to no knowledge about how New Zealand law system works. And if they don't know their rights, they become easy target for anyone, you know, to abuse them. So yeah, I think it's that was a really important thing. Especially for forced migrant communities to know.
Yeah, we heard a lot from different community leaders about some of the issues that they've faced with regards to discrimination, which is kind of what the human rights law is about. And I think most of what we heard about had to do with employment.
Yes.
So just trying to figure out what would be considered discrimination under the law in employment and what wouldn't be.
Yeah. That was really good discussion. That was a really good meeting that we had. And yes, so all right, guys. So this is the end of our first session, and we'll have a short music break, and we'll be right back.
Where love goes, I will go too. Up 29 flights of stairs. I won't say that I'll be true, but look, and I'll be there. Spit in my
your head.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Asif Rajput Bhatti, and you're listening to Reset Community Radio, brought to you by Planet FM and ARCC, with me here, Sandy. So before we went to the break, we had a song request, especially from Sandy, and we're going to ask, why does she like this song?
It's a song that I discovered as a teenager. It was played very, very, very occasionally on the radio, and it took me ages to figure out who the artist was, but it's just a really fantastic song, and it has all kinds of different cultural elements. It was kind of, I think it was arranged by Mickey Hart, who's the drummer for the Grateful Dead, I believe. And the singing voices are an a cappella group called the Mint Juleps, who are from the United Kingdom. And the song itself is actually, it's a bit dark. It's about domestic violence. It's about a woman descending into a domestic violence relationship and escaping at the end. It's a very powerful ending.
Yeah, talking about domestic violence, I've just attended domestic violence training yesterday. And so government has just, you know, increased the funding to help or different organizations to help, you know, stop family violence. And the research was showing that since government has increased the funding, we are now seeing more and more domestic violence cases, and it's going up. And it's good.
And it's good.
Yeah, yeah. You know, because people are coming out and they are talking. And before, they've been oppressed and they are not talking about this, because now they are talking. And the government is running a campaign. It says it's not okay. You know, family violence is not, it's not okay. Even if it's, you know, physical or, you know, psychological, so it's not okay. So I encourage anyone, you know, whoever is listening and facing, you know, domestic violence or family violence, call 111, especially police. And if they are not okay talking to the police, talk to your family, talk to your friends, talk to your neighbors, you know, just you know, don't be oppressed. And there are other different organizations out there that would help as well. So if you're from Asian, African, Middle Eastern community, go and talk to Shakti. You know, this is a very, you know, a good organization that helps people that are in an abusive relationship. And that was it. And yeah, before going to the break, we were talking about ARCC and how ARCC is making a difference in day-to-day life of a forced migrant. And we were talking about a community leadership monthly network meeting that we have every month or once in a twice a month. Yes, so we're going to talk about some of our, you know, services that we provide. So we provide advocacy services, leadership, and we do research as well. And so we work directly with our communities by focusing on capacity building and establishment of networks. So what we do is that we invite community leaders, and if they need help, you know, if they're organizing a project or event, and if they need help even applying funding through a different organization, and if they're holding, you know, any small events, so we might be able to help them apply funding through ARCC, from ARCC. Yeah, so that's what we help with this one as well. And ARCC's door is always open to anyone. You know, they can always come in, and if they're facing any kind of problem regarding government issue, mental issue, any kind, our doors are always open for anyone out there. And yeah, so because our organization works with resettled communities, most of our cases are from forced migrant communities, and not only forced migrant communities, also we work with asylum seekers as well. And Sandy might be able to help me talk about some of the cases that she might be dealing lately and how she was able to, you know, help those individuals.
We do some advocacy services. So when a community member comes in, they might come in with an issue with Housing New Zealand or work and income, or just finding employment, or something with immigration New Zealand.
Right.
And we tend to do things like we write down their story and write down letters of support or letters of reference. So a letter of support can be to help them find housing or something like that. A letter of reference is for employment usually.
Yeah. Even sometimes, you know, like people, they think that they don't have a case with them. But when we get to know them and they have a very strong case, and by guiding them, you know, with their own experience, we might be able to help them. And once we submit, you know, those letters to, you know, government or organization stakeholders like housing, they might be able to get, you know, the housing within weeks. You know, before they didn't know, you know, what they exactly want, but you know, we don't tell them what to do. We just guide them through what they already have and what services are out there and how you are eligible for them.
Yeah, and just to explain why a lot of community members will be seeking that type of help. For example, if someone is an asylum seeker, they're basically on their own from the beginning.
Yes.
So they kind of have to apply for a visa. They have to apply for housing. They have to get help on their own. If somebody is here under the refugee quota, which is a slightly different system, they get a lot more support, but only for about a year, and then they're also kind of on their own.
Yeah, so they get 1 year support from Red Cross. So after they move from Mangere Resettlement Center, Red Cross takes over, and they help them resettle in the community. They provide them help with the social worker. They provide them with volunteers, and then they help them to get settled. But it's mostly it lasts only 1 year. Yeah, so. Right, and the other thing that we talked earlier is about Women Leadership Network and also Youth United Voice. So Sandy has taken over on these projects, and we always recruiting our youth ambassadors as well. So if any one of you would like to, you know, involve and make a difference in our community, and you're young and you want to make a difference, you can always, you know, come to ARCC, or you can go to our website and you can sign up over there. Or if you just want to be a volunteer with us, you can also, you know, sign up through our website. Go to www.arcc.org.nz, www.arcc.org.nz. So just go to the website, and if you want to make a difference, sign up through our volunteer page. And also, if you are struggling with anything and you don't know where to go, you can also come to our office. And if you don't know what to go, so just go to our website and go to the contact us page and call us, or you can just come straight to the office. We are open 9 to 5 from Monday through Friday. And yeah, just come to our office, and we might be able to help you. By help you, definitely we're going to help ourselves as well, because we are part of, you know, the wider community. Right, guys, let's take a short music break, and we'll be right back. किस्मत में मेरी चैन से जीना लिख दे डूबे न कभी मेरा सफीना लिख दे जन्नत भी गवारा है मगर मेरे लिए ऐ कातिबे तकदीर
Madina likh de.
Yeah.
To the Reset Radio. This is your host Asif Rajput Bhatti, and you're listening to Reset Community Radio, brought to you by Planet FM and ARCC, with me here, Sandy. And the song that we listened, it's a folk song from Pakistani music, and it talks about the journey that the person wants to visit Makkah, where he wants to go to the, you know, we call it Mazar of Nabi Muhammad, peace be upon him, and visit, and also he wants to able to go to the over the first mosque established by Muslim 1400 years ago. It really touches my heart whenever I listen to, and especially for all the Muslim listeners that are that were listening to the song. Yeah, before going to the break, we were talking about ERCC and our services that we talked about, and Sandy is with me, and we're going to talk about ERCC, the background and what it does. So over to you, Sandy.
Thank you. So ARCC is the Aotearoa Resettled Community Coalition. Sorry. So it's different from a lot of nonprofit NGOs in that it's very much integrated in with the community that it works with. So we work directly with mostly with the 24 different forced migrant communities that are part of our organization, so they're kind of like partners with us, and we'll do like regular work talking to the community leaders, which Asif does most of, and so yeah, it's 24 community organizations from I believe it's 15 different
18
different countries. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about the kind of the co-papa of the organization, that's sort of the philosophy of the organization, because I think it's really cool. This is, well, just one thing that I've heard said a few times, which is hear from us, not about us. And that has to do with partially with how we conduct our research, but how we engage with communities in general. It's it's all about the voices of the communities and us not talking over them, but rather just kind of collecting them and making sure that they're heard by various agencies and governments and that kind of thing.
Yes, because most of the agencies, they are talking about us all the time, you know, especially resettled community organizations. But what our main goal is that we want our communities to be heard by them. So not talk about them, listen to them, you know. Yeah, that's the main goal that we would want.
So then the three, we discussed this before, the three main things that we offer: advocacy, leadership, and research. So the advocacy we talked a bit about before, which is kind of helping people with letters of support and that kind of thing. Research, as I mentioned before, is community engagement style research.
Yes.
So we've recently been doing community engagement process called the Tūmanako Table of Hope.
Yeah, Tūmanako Table of Hope.
Which is basically just engaging directly with communities, community leaders. So engaging with like individual leaders of each community, but also engaging with groupings of women from each community, youth from each community.
Seeing what the options that is on the table, like stakeholders, and you know, those are the main service provider that they're gonna be working on, and making easier for them, you know, to have access of these services rather than make it a complex situation where they don't know where to go and where to find you know, their services, and and bridging the gap as well. Yes. So we always talk about forced migrant, there are two different kind of forced migrant in New Zealand. So one are refugee quota, and the other one are the asylum seekers. So most of the services that is available for the forced migrant that coming through quota refugee program, but there are very limited service provider available for asylum seeker. I think there's one Asylum Seeker Trust.
Yes, Asylum Seeker Support Trust, provide advocacy for asylum seekers. Yeah, but they're still treated terribly.
Yes. Their funding is very limited, and there's a lot of cases, you know. And I think there's only one social worker that they have funding it for. Yeah, they've been treating really misbehavior. As we compare to the forced migrant refugee quota, there are a lot of services available by government. So this is why we are also raising this issue. And we are also advocating on behalf of asylum seekers out yeah. there as well.
And there is one additional category, which is the family reunification.
Yes, yes, so, yeah. The third, yeah, exactly. Sorry, I forgot about it. The third is family reunification program as well. And yeah, so there are two types of family reunification there, or maybe there are other types as well that I might not know. So one is family reunification program, and then the other one is tier one and tier two, especially for people from refugee quota background that they come from. So basically tier one, so family reunification is that if you're a minor, you can Red Cross and government will be able to help you reunite with your family from overseas. Or if you are if you have children under 24 years of old, Red Cross and government organization might be help you reunite with your partner, with your children. Yes, this is the family reunification program, and then there's a tier one. So if you are a single person in New Zealand and you come under refugee quota program, you can sponsor your mother, your father, your sibling, and the process for tier one is that you should be the only person available on the country. You should not have a family, otherwise you will not be eligible for this program. And the tier 2 is not always open, so tier 2 opens when there are lack of application from tier 1. So the criteria for tier 2 is you have a family already in New Zealand, and then you want to, you know, sponsor some of your family that are living overseas. Yeah, so you can have more information on the immigration.org.nz website about family reunification and tier 1 and tier 2 program. Yeah, and there are some other program which runs by ERCC as well. So we used to have a driving program, which unfortunately we do not have this anymore. And we are willing to bring this program back because most of our community are facing hard time learning to drive. I think Sandy and Aban was talking about how to revive this program once again. Why do you think driving is really, getting a driver's license at least restricted is very important for the forced migrant community? And why this support should bring back, and why should we need to revive this program?
Oh, well, I mean, driving equals independence. It's just a completely different life that you have if you can't drive.
Right.
And
I think the structure with the New Zealand transport is that we are not very, you know, public transport friendly country, no. Especially as comparing to other countries like Asian countries, United States, Canada, even European countries. Those people much rely on public transport as well as their own transport. But in New Zealand, I don't think there's enough public transport for a person to use. Yeah, so I think, yeah, as you said, driving equal to independence. Yeah, and also one in three person have a car in New Zealand. So maybe that's why also government is not investing a lot in government fund. But that's another topic. Yeah, but I think, yeah, so at least one person in a family should know how to drive, so they'll be able to, you know, independent on their own without relying on. Because once you've been released from Mangere Resettlement Center, you go to the community, and in Red Cross, you've been provided with volunteers. But Red Cross always said that those volunteers are not your taxi drivers, which is a bit harsh, but that's true, because, you know, they're volunteering their time, so they can't take you everywhere. So yeah, if we empower them, if we provide them with the tools that where they can, you know, learn by themselves, and even we help them learn, and we empower them getting at least their restricted license. Yeah, so that would be the one thing that would make a difference. All right, guys, let's go on the music break, and we'll be right back and talk more about our services that we provide. Welcome back. This is your host, Asif Rajput Bhatti, and you're listening to Reset Community Radio, brought to you by Planet FM and ARCC, with me here, Sandy. Before going to the music break, we were talking about, the services and how, we were helping the forced migrant community. And now me and Sandy were talking about there are some issues that forced migrant community that needs, help. More help from government, and Sandy is going to talk about what the issues are and what kind of issue they are facing and what challenges there are and what kind of support that more support that they need from government.
So before I did mention briefly the Tūmanako Table of Hope, which was part of their community engagement process, where we basically, or I actually wasn't involved, this was before my time, but the organization kind of had discussions with different community members and asked what some of the needs were, and a lot of questions. So there were four different community consultation sessions with 166 people, which included women, elders, youth, and leaders from the 24 community member organizations that ARCC is part of.
Right.
So kind of what came out of that was...
Yeah, there was a quite intense research, yeah, before you came in.
Yeah. So basically, the main needs that were kind of... that there was a consensus on among those 166 participants was improved employment, housing, language, education, and well-being services. And language, I think, is probably a two-tiered part of it. It has to do with better access to English language and learning that, but also access to resources in their own language.
Yeah, I think the very big issue is with the employment, especially if you're a migrant. You still face a lot of challenges, getting employed. And if you're from forced migrant community and you can't speak English, most of them, they can't speak English, not all of them. And it becomes really hard to find an employment. And employment is equal to independence, where you can empower yourself and, you brought the livelihood for your family and well-being. So I think the main issue that the forced migrant are having are the employment issue, that general wider community is not recognizing what a forced migrant is. And whenever a forced migrant is willing to apply in different position, they will treat him as an outsider, as a refugee. And because most of them, the business owners, they don't have any idea what their stories are, how did they end up here, how they are different from migrant and forced migrants are. And if government could run a smaller program, to share with media that what forced migrants are, and they are not it's not the reason because they were poor, they were being brought to the country. It's because, there's several different reasons. It's discrimination, political agendas, so many things that they've faced in their country. They've faced with war, discrimination, and all those sort of matter. And when they brought to the country, most people, they think, they're living on dole. They're not doing any good. This for our country. Over homeless people needs more, while government is bringing more refugees. So what I want to say is that being a refugee or a forced migrant is not an option. They didn't want to leave their country. They didn't want to come to New Zealand. So they didn't choose New Zealand. New Zealand chose them. Especially if they're from a refugee quota program. So they are very happy that New Zealand chose them, where they are feeling, more safe, where they can, call New Zealand their home. And in order for them, to convert from called a refugee, from forced migrant, they really need to have a job here as well. They don't want to live in a dole. Yeah, And so this is the main issues that we talked about back in 2019 when we had National Refugee Forum in Wellington, where I was invited, and most of the ARCC staff back there were invited, and we had quite an intense workshop only on how it is difficult for a former refugee or a forced migrant to get a job. So there was a research done by a university, and 90% forced migrant people get a job within 5 years of coming, which is a long time. It's not because they do not want to work. It's how the services that needed to be improved. I know there are some services called Pathway to Employment with Red Cross, and there are other services that have been provided. But I think they are very limited, and government needs to focus on how we can make these services better. We are not here to point finger at them. I know they have been doing a very good job. But still, they are very limited. And I think really government need to step in. As we have increased the quota refugee from 1,000 or 750 to 1,500 now. And this is the time where we can, make a difference from going on forward. So the employment was one of them. And the other one was housing. I know housing shortage is not only in Auckland, all over New Zealand, even for the local people, it's really become difficult to get a house in there. So I know government is doing a lot on that sector as well. But on the culturally level, where these people are from, government also need to, acknowledge their needs, where they are from, and what sort of support they need with housing and also with our health system. These things, there are many services out there, but the problem with them accessing them, or
I just want to make a note on the housing shortage, which is that we actually have enough houses for everybody. But the problem has to do with price and the fact that some people are doing things like land banking and leaving their houses without any occupants, just so that they can sell them later for profit. And this is really impacting everybody in Aotearoa, New Zealand. We can't make the argument that there aren't enough resources, because there are.
Exactly. Because in 2020, when COVID-19 hits, one good thing happened was that the mortgage level and the percentage of interest came very down. But on the other hand, the property prices, They went over the roof, and I think it happened more than 50%. The property value has been increased since then, even more in some areas, especially in Auckland. So if a house worth of $1 million, and now it's $1.5 or $1.4 million, and if the properties, the values are going up, definitely the rent. Definitely, they're going up. Yeah, so this is a very challenging part, that the issue that people are facing. And I know government has done some work in late 2020. They introduced some rules. As our Prime Minister said, there is not a magic wand that we could fix. But still, they could do a lot better. And some of the other issues that our forced migrant community, they are facing, and Sandy was talking about with Study Link.
There's a few different ones. So these are the more specific changes, as opposed to simply community needs. These are changes that people in... Mm-hmm. In that community consultation.
What are those? Can you tell our audience?
So one of them was changing the family reunification policies. Right. So, for example, they're saying that the length of time that Tier 2 takes is too long, that immigration needs to review those policies.
Yes.
Another thing is that there seems to be discriminatory policies against people who don't hold residency and citizenship with regards to StudyLink, and I believe that's the case for work and income as well.
Right.
Need more scholarship opportunities for forced migrants. Mm-hmm. We discussed the driver's license issue before, where we kind of don't have enough mentors, driving mentors and that kind of thing right now. Public transport needs to be more affordable. I mean, that's one of many problems with public transport, honestly. And, like, I come from Bay Area in California near San Francisco, and our public transport is just so much... Auckland could be doing so much better.
Yeah.
So they had a question regarding the Red Cross pathways to employment, what comes afterwards.
Yeah.
Needing for more promotion of entrepreneurship. So I guess it's like more resources for people who want to kind of start their own businesses, which...
Which we are doing. Yeah. We are partnering with the Iteria Collective and providing, you know, microfinance this sort of stuff. All right, guys, thank you very much for being with us today. And, today on a general brief overview that we talked about the services and how ARCC is helping the community and how the impact of ARCC community is having on the community. This is over, we talked about this one. And I would like to thank Sandy for coming over and joining us with the dog. I know she's very busy with her schedule. So thank you very much, Sandy, for coming over. And also thanks to all the audience that has been listening to our show. So we'll catch you guys same place, same time next week. Bye-bye.
Hi.
Mine, no, mine, no, dog, mine, no, dog, mine, mine. Stream it.